Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! It's a grand slam!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing!
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And it's another full Friday show for you today. Greg Doyle, longtime old friend, now with the Indianapolis Star, is going to join us at 9:40. We'll talk to Hub Arkush at 10. We'll do the Midday Midway at 10:40. Anthony Herron joins us at 11. And then Sam Acho will check in at 11:40. He's going to talk about some of what he and several Chicago athletes have been doing, some actual boots on the ground, good community work, because he's a good dude, and always like checking in with Sam Acho. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live, streaming 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? You can. That's why we have the text zone. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. You text the same number you call. 312-644-6767. And when you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670, the personal Twitter where the fun stuff happens. That's at Dan_Bernstein. Also, you must download the radio.com app, and that helps you stream The Score on your mobile devices and gives you DVR-like controls to shift time and space and be the master of dimension or something. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Our executive producer is the hardworking Jay Zawoski. Our associate producer is the hardworking executioner Ray Diaz, the man on the board with the sound doing all the things that he does. We've got a college sports reckoning that's coming like a freight train right now. Make no mistake. This is going to land like a ton of bricks, because this is when stuff gets real in parts of the country where they haven't wanted it to be real, and everywhere else. And notice, when you hear leaders of these conferences, when you hear leaders of these college sports start to talk, what they're saying publicly means that it's lagging behind what they're saying privately. They're keeping all these doors open, but these backroom conversations, and people who are in some of these rooms where it happens, these backroom conversations are always going to be out ahead of then what they sanitize for public consumption. So the fact that they're already coming off of their grand proclamations of what they thought they could do, going to these conference-only schedules now in the Power Five conferences, this is what we have said and what these times do now. They accelerate, they intensify, they illuminate. And we're going to see a sea change in college sports. We're going to see a sea change in college football. And the relationship, what this is doing, it is going to throw into stark obviousness the relationship between sports and money and what's been real and what the Title IX obligations are going to do mixed in with sports here, and what all this is really going to mean when they actually strip away some of the facade and some of the grandeur and some of the BS all about what it means and student athletes and everything else. It's all going to start to come home now, and it's going to be true in a lot of places. When we start hearing that the school district, the high school district, the largest one in Dallas, is talking about not having high school football in Texas this season, we're talking about everything getting real on a local and granular level, because these are very powerful people in these Power Five conferences. Not to mention, and this is why we're having Greg Doyle on, not to mention what he wrote about now what happens to the smaller Division I schools in the smaller conferences whose athletic department budgets in large part were made up by being paid to come to these big buildings and lose. When Ball State says, yeah, we'll play you, Michigan. Well, Michigan's paying them $800,000 to come there and lose. Think about Northern Illinois. Anytime Northern Illinois plays a Big Ten team, they're cashing a check for $500,000 or $600,000 or $750,000. Poof, that's gone. There's holes being blown in budgets here because of the number of feeders at these same troughs. I want you to hear from the people involved, because you got to hear it in their words and importantly also in their tone, because the most powerful people in this are not the presidents of universities. They're not necessarily the athletic directors themselves, except to save for a handful of the power of the powerful. And it's certainly not the NCAA. As Pete Futek talked about yesterday, the NCAA is great at saying you can't do things. They're great at taking things away. But outside of that, outside of being sort of a tin horn police force, they don't have that much power. The guys with the power, the people with the power, are the heads of the Power Five conferences. They have the television networks. They have the money. That gives them the power. That's why we need to hear from Kevin Warren. Kevin Warren is the Big Ten commissioner. He replaced the powerful Jim Delaney. And he joined the Big Ten Network. And I want you to listen to him and listen to his tone about why he made the announcement on a conference-only schedule when he did.
When you reach a decision, it's important to make an announcement. And we just felt that from a collaborative basis, being in communication on a regular basis with our chancellors, our presidents, our athletic directors, our head football coaches, that the time had come for us to make an announcement. I mean, this allows us to be able to just take another step in this entire process. I mean, this is a complicated time, complicated world that we're living in with the COVID-19 pandemic. And so what we're doing is relying on the expert advice of our medical advisors. You know, we have our Big Ten Emerging Infectious Disease Committee, and also all of our other Big Ten doctors and trainers. And so we made a vow early on that first and foremost, we would put the health, the safety, and the wellness of our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions. So we felt that this was an appropriate time to make this announcement.
Fair enough. But now we have the testing component, and we have the fact that once you admit to making these changes and feeling the need that this is thrust upon you because of circumstances beyond your control, now how important are things like uniform testing?
You make these decisions, you just have to look at all of the issues. And one of the things that was most important to us was the flexibility of scheduling all the operations. You know, it's much easier if we're just working with our Big Ten institutions. From a scheduling standpoint, from a traveling standpoint, you know, all of those issues that go into having our student athletes compete. And because otherwise, when you start working outside your conference, you put yourself in a position where there are enough issues that we're dealing with already. But then you add on top of it the issues of travel and just the logistics associated with it. And so we felt that at the end of the day, this decision would allow us to, one, do the right thing by our student athletes, keep them at the forefront of all of our decisions, and make sure we create an environment to give us the best chance to play. I mean, one thing we have to realize that this is not a fait accompli that we're going to have sports in the fall. We may not have sports in the fall. We may not have a college football season in the Big Ten. And so we just wanted to make sure that this was a next logical step to always to rely on our medical experts to keep our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions and make sure that they are as healthy as they possibly can be from a mental, a physical, and emotional health and wellness standpoint.
All right, the cynicism is just too easy on this, and it's just a matter of how hard you want to go in the BS of what we're hearing right there. When you're talking about having the student athletes front and center, first and foremost, and that being your motivation for all of this, bull crap. The motivation is the money, and we know it. They can't say it, but we know it. Because if it weren't, you would have done what the Ivy League already did. The Ivy League has their football and they have their student athletes who are actual, for the most part, student athletes because they're not there on scholarship. They may be recruited to play there in part, but they're there to be students and they also happen to play. They canceled their football season because they're keeping an eye out for their student athletes. They canceled fall sports because they realized that fall sports are not going to be in the best interest of these people. The Power Five conferences that have television schedules that to which they have agreed to and advertising dollars that have been committed, they are not acting. Period, paragraph, not acting purely out of the best interest of the student athletes. These are massive television sports businesses that use the free labor to make money hand over fist. So it sounds all great for people who need to hear it and want to hear it. But don't give me that. I understand that that's why you're trying to federalize and standardize your system and have a Big Ten way of doing business. And this is going to stress out some of these businesses, but come on. When you already have the Ivy League calling your bluff on that and saying, yeah, no, we're not going to do this because it's not that important to us. What you're saying they're doing is because it's important to you, because that's what pays the freight. So they're going to a conference-only schedule. But if you listen to one of the reasons why they're doing it, you can hear something foreboding in it.
That's one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we had the flexibility. I mean, we're, you know, dealing with this pandemic, not understanding how COVID-19 is moving and moving in our society. Some days are better than the other. And we just felt by making sure that we kept our scheduling, our games, our competition in the Big Ten family, it would allow us the flexibility to get us in a better position to possibly play. And that's what we want to be with. The other thing that was important today about the announcement is that one, all of our summer activities, we've made it very clear now that they will remain voluntary because again, looking out for our student athletes. And then the other big thing is that any of our Big Ten student athletes who decide not to participate in student athletics this year based upon COVID-19, that we're honoring their scholarship 100%. So their status on the team will not be impacted at all in a negative manner, that they have that flexibility. And we just want to make sure that we do everything we possibly can and allow our medical experts for us to give us advice that we can listen to, that we can evaluate, and always do the right thing for the health, safety, and wellness of our student athletes. I mean, so today's an interesting day, to say the least. It's a lot of hours that goes into these decisions, but I am very comfortable that on behalf of our chancellors, our presidents, our football coaches, all of our coaches, our student athletes, and our conference administrators, and also our athletic directors, that we did the right thing. And I always ask myself, you know, what's the wise thing to do? And as we sit here today, the wise thing to do was for us to not only create but announce a Big Ten conference-only schedule.
Well, we'll see if he's always thinking of what the wise thing is to do. We'll see if he follows through by hiding behind the idea that it's in the whatever's in the best interest of all of the student athletes. We're going to find out as these days go on. So then he was asked when we actually get this conference-only schedule.
This is really where the work begins, you know, to make sure that we get all of our testing protocols finalized, to make sure we get all of our medical and operational procedures finalized, but then also start working with our network partners. And then, like you just alluded to, is from a scheduling standpoint, to start working on various scenarios that will work. So over the next week or so, we'll work through all of the scheduling issues that we'll have to deal with to make sure that we're always doing the best that we possibly can to keep our student athletes healthy and safe, but also provide some great Big Ten football, hopefully in the fall, to our fans. And I know this has been a very, very interesting last 4 months, to say the least, on many levels. And so it's just, again, in my position, it truly is an honor and a pleasure to have partners like the Big Ten Network, but also to serve a great group of chancellors and presidents and work side by side and work with, you know, our wonderful head coaches and our athletic directors. And on my mind every day is, as a parent who has a son who's a student athlete, a football student athlete in college now, that I'm always thinking about, you know, what would I want to do for my son or my daughter or my grandson or my granddaughter? And I just want to make sure that every decision we make honors that commitment that we've made to our student athletes, that allows them to be students first and athletes second, and provide an environment to them that is safe and also healthy. And so we felt like we had to make this decision. We made the decision. We're comfortable with our decision. And again, we're taking this pandemic on a day-to-day basis. And I'm sure there'll be many more decisions that we'll have to make over the next days, weeks, and months ahead.
More words from Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, that are going to be tested as time goes by. Now, as mentioned before, he and his counterparts in the other four power conferences, they all copycat each other, and they do it because they're all having discussions. They know how powerful they are, and they know that if it's good for one conference, obviously depending on regional differences in the spread of this virus, which with every day that goes by is becoming less regionalized once again and more nationalized. He makes it clear that he has been having conversations with other commissioners on the decisions that I guarantee you these other conferences reach in short order.
One of the things that I would say that I have always had throughout my career is to, one, make sure I over communicate, and two, that I'm always transparent. So internally, on a regular basis, I mean, we have conversations on a daily basis with our athletic directors, a weekly basis with many of our head coaches, especially our football coaches. And then our other A5 commissioners, we also have daily conversations. And then I'm in regular contact with all of our chancellors and presidents. We have meetings on the calendar. And not only aside of that, just communicating with them on a regular basis. So one, to be transparent, two, to be always over communicate. And so a lot of these conversations that, you know, we've been talking about this for the last month. When you sit in a seat like this, you always have to make sure that you are always preparing for the what if scenarios, and many of which may never come to fruition. They may just end up in a binder or in a desk drawer or saved on a computer somewhere. But one good thing about, you know, working in the Big Ten, we have incredibly bright people who are astute, who understand this conference, and we have a long history of doing the best that we can to do what's right. And so we've been looking at various scenarios. We'll continually look on a daily basis as far as what affords us an opportunity to do the right thing by our student athletes. So yeah, there's been a lot of communication. You're right, there have been many hours of Zoom calls and just trying to communicate. I mean, this is what even makes this more difficult is the fact that we're having to do it in an environment. I mean, if we were in our office together and could walk down the hallway and huddle up and talk about these different things, you think about it. We have our staff is spread around the country, and we have 14 incredible institutions spread over 11 states that goes from Nebraska to New Jersey. And so, and also, this is a time in the summer that many people that we're dealing with are on family vacation. So we have all of those different issues that we're dealing with. But by and large, one thing about, you know, the human race is that they have great hearts. We have great people in the Big Ten Conference. We're striving to always do the best that we possibly can to make the most wise decision. And this was a decision that we collectively had to come together on to say what really is the wise thing to do. And we felt that today was the day for us to announce it. Now we can move forward and try to start putting all these other pieces in place from a scheduling standpoint, from an operational standpoint, from a testing protocol standpoint, and all the other issues, that all the different things that we'll have to deal with our network partners. And also just working through with the with the return to campus and just making sure that our student athletes stay as healthy and as safe as they possibly can, but also afford them an opportunity, if we're so blessed, to be able to play fall sports in the Big Ten.
Oh, poor you. How difficult it is for you because you got people spread out everywhere and you're using Zoom calls. Welcome to the party, pal. You think it was going to be easy being Big Ten commissioner even when you're not in a pandemic, and now you're complaining about how difficult this all is because you've got people on family vacations? Are you kidding me? People with enough resources right now and enough opportunity and the wherewithal to take, well, think about how hard this is. So many of our important people are on family vacations. Must be nice. Come on, man. Well, one of the other powerful people involved, and he talked about all the athletic directors, Ohio State AD Gene Smith is certainly one of those. And he was on a conference call expressing more frank pessimism about pulling off a college football season.
I am concerned that we may not be able to play, which is why we took the measure that we took in order to try and have September available to us for conference games and give us the flexibility and control to handle disruptions if we're able to start a season. I am very concerned. I think in our last conversation, whatever that was, I was, you know, cautiously optimistic. You know, I'm not even there now. And when you look at the behavior of our country and you consider that in May, we were on a downward trajectory with cases and our hospitals were creating opportunities for people to come back and get the care that they needed beyond COVID and elective surgeries and things of that nature. And now we're, if not the worst in the world, one of the worst in the world.
The fear and loathing from a free labor cartel that has no idea how to handle their life when the money dries up. This is, we're going to have this laid bare. You're going to see what a house of cards this all was. We can't pay the players. We can't pay the players. What will happen to amateurism? We can't pay the players. No, because you want the money for yourselves and your coaches want the money. This is what we're going to see this accelerated, illuminated, intensified of what college football particularly has grown into. What it's become, what we've wanted it to become, what we've paid it to become. And when all of a sudden it gets disrupted, we're going to look at it again and say, what the hell are we doing? What is this really? And there's more on this and the effect of this and what it's meant on college campuses. So when we come back, we need to hear from Pat Fitzgerald. I also want to bring back something that College Football News' Pete Futek said. He had kind of a contrarian take on the cancellation of some of these secondary, tertiary, even quaternary sports on these campuses. He was celebrating the fact that they're not going to be bankrolled anymore because they don't have football money to prop it all up. And he says, you know, get rid of the lie. That's another thing that is going to be stripped bare in the Stanfords, Michigans, Texases, Ohio States, and some of these other places. We're going to get to all of it, but Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach of Northwestern football, was particularly interesting as well for a lot of reasons. So we're going to get to all of it next. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Mullion Hall, Chicago's sports morning show. Start your day with the stories that matter to Chicago sports fans. Live at 5. Mike Mulligan and David Hall. They're live and they're local. From the city you love. Doing it for the city you love. Mullion Hall, where Chicago goes for sports talk. Mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. A radio.com sports station.
This is Boomer Esiason with the Radio.com Sports Minute, sponsored by Fisher Investments, helping people achieve a comfortable retirement for over 40 years. Major League Soccer's MLS is back. Tournament minus coronavirus-stricken FC Dallas and Nashville FC marks the return of professional team sports here in the U.S. Meantime, the NBA is cautiously filling its bubble, also in Orlando's Disney complex, while Major League teams are having a summer camp in their own ballparks. The PGA Tour has made it into Week 5 with its back-to-back tournaments at Jack Nicklaus's Muirfield Village course, and NASCAR and IndyCar also have resumed. resume. This burst of post-lockdown activity should give inveterate gamblers something to work with during the quarantine. They were reduced to esports and unsanctioned Ukrainian table tennis tournaments before this. But yesterday, thankfully, New Jersey put the kibosh on wagering on those shady made-for-COVID-19 ping-pong scams. Corruption in Ukraine? Nah, no one would ever suspect it. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you having a difficult time finding domestically made masks? Are you a healthcare system that is tired of being reliant on China for PPE? RB Medical Supply is here to help. Our mission is to provide products made in the USA to anyone that needs it. We are cutting our traditional distribution supply chains and selling factory direct to keep you, your employees, and your family safe. During the COVID-19 pandemic, visit us today at rbmedicalsupply.com. rbmedicalsupply.com.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. Four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. Plus, we're including four amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. Visit Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with auto pay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available ever. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
It all started with a grilled cheese sandwich. Two simple pieces of bread, some butter, and a slice of American cheese. But after making it day after day, week after week, I hungered for more. Colby, provolone, Gouda. But Gouda wasn't good enough. I wanted great. I added tomatoes, pickles, jalapenos. If I could birth this gooey work of art in my tiny, modest kitchen, imagine what I could do in a gourmet chef's kitchen. So I called U.S. Bank about loaning me some extra cheddar. Now I had the mad cheese skill and a superior grill. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
What do you want a da-da-da?
What do you want a da-da-da?
I have not a da with a da-da-da.
We could switch to Progressive da-da.
Oh, yeah?
We could switch to Progressive and sa.
Mm-hmm.
We could sa enough to buy some za.
Oh, yeah. Let's switch to Progressive da-da and get some za with the money we saw.
Yeah.
Now we know we're gonna da-da-da.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. It might just be the most normal thing you da-da-da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The best radio stations in America live on Radio.com. Atlanta's V103, number one for hip-hop and R&B. The world-famous 106.7 KROQ, LA and Orange County's alternative. Chicago's finest rock, 93 XRT. Alice at 97.3 with the Bay Area's best music and lots more. Find them and listen to what you want when you want on Radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free Radio.com app.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
The president of baseball operations for your Chicago Cubs is Theo Epstein. He joins me now.
Fans have to prepare for it to look a little bit different. The way almost everything is going to look a little bit different. And, you know, players are going to be wearing masks at all times except when they're on the field. They're going to be socially distanced. Yeah, even in the dugout, there's not going to be as much time spent indoors preparing for games. And simple things that you're used to seeing on the field that they're not going to be able to do. I think the right perspective to take on it, and it's something that we're all learning to do in almost every aspect of our life, is to maybe not compare it to what we've been used to, because that's a losing proposition and you end up seeing the negatives if you play that game and mentally. And instead, to look at it as an opportunity to sort of craft something new.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a Radio.com sports station.
Napa know-how.
Napa, we've stopped thinking outside the box. Instead, we're thinking inside the bucket. The $2.99 Napa bucket, to be exact. When you fill those bad boys with auto parts, you can get 20% off three or more items that fit inside. No overthinking required. Just get your bucket, fill it up, and save 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 7/31/20.
It all started with a grilled cheese sandwich. Two simple pieces of bread, some butter, and a slice of American cheese. But after making it day after day, week after week, I hungered for more. Colby, provolone, Gouda. But Gouda wasn't good enough. I wanted great. I added tomatoes, pickles, jalapenos. If I could birth this gooey work of art in my tiny, modest kitchen, imagine what I could do in a gourmet chef's kitchen. So I called U.S. Bank about loaning me some extra cheddar. Now I had the mad cheese skill and a superior grill. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Talking about the rumblings in college sports, not just in college football, because anything that happens to college football is, by definition, something that affects college sports, because that's where the television money comes from in large part. Between that and the $5 billion NCAA basketball tournament, this is what underpins everything and underpins a whole lot of lies and injustice and systemic issues, all based and all roads lead back to, say it with me, free labor. So when we talk about powerful and intelligent and strong leadership, we always immediately think the NCAA, don't we? Well, here's an example of it, because the National Collegiate Athletic Association has just released the following statement. I'm laughing because all I can think of is when we start talking about superfluous press releases, I'm thinking of when the day the Bulls hired Arturis Karnishevas as their executive vice president, and Jim Boylan decided he was going to send out an official press release welcoming Arturis Karnishevas to his role at the top of the Bulls organization. This is right there with it. I don't know if it's quite that absurd and quite that inherently funny, but here, you want bold, powerful leadership. It sounds like this. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to impact college sports nationally, the NCAA supports its members as they make important decisions based on their specific circumstances and in the best interest of college athletes' health and well-being. Okay. Cool. Thanks. If you had to come up with the most ineffectual, feckless, spineless possible statement, what does that do? That, ladies and gentlemen, that's the NCAA. Oh my God, I hope you find that as funny as I do. That's their official statement. I'm going to read it again. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to impact college sports nationally, the NCAA supports its members as they make important decisions. They make important decisions based on their specific circumstances and in the best interest of college athletics, health, and well-being. That's so no matter what they do, they support them. The official language of this university will be Swedish. We support that. Underwear must be changed every half hour and will be worn on the outside so we can check. And the letter M is stricken from the alphabet. This is just... We support it. Whatever you want to do... I'm with you. I'm there for you. That is just absolutely spectacular right there. Man, you be you, NCAA. Well, Northwestern's football coach, Pat Fitzgerald, was on our sister station, WBBM, and he mentioned that conference-only games right now is the right call.
We've been informed now, really over the last 14 weeks as coaches, we've been asked to get input of our student-athletes. And we've shared that with the conference. And, you know, from a health and safety standpoint, Commissioner Warren and the Big Ten made a decision that, if we play, this will be the safest way that we can do it.
I will believe it if the doctors tell us it's healthy and safe. You know, that's the only thing that is driving this. We're leaning on our doctors. We're leaning on our medical experts. You know, the question is if we play. And, you know, I think any of us that think we have the answer, we're just guessing. We need to be smart. We need to be safe. If we all want college football, if we want sports to continue to move forward in our country, that seems to be a major fabric in our country. You know, sports is a part of what we do. It's not what we do. It's not who we are. But it is obviously something that we all enjoy. But the health and safety of our entire community is paramount and priority.
But we'll find out if it is. And if you're traveling a bunch of football players around, what are you actually proving about their health and community health? It's a note here from Rudy, who was a college football player. And he says, if there's one redeeming value to this pandemic, is that it will burn the NCAA to the ground. I couldn't imagine traveling with a football team to play a game, conference or non-conference. The amount of equipment people, medical trainers, food, hotel service people that one would have to be in or near contact with is insane. And I'm leaving out 80 players between 18 and 22, most of whom are idiots and won't be safe. He can say that. He was a player. It's insane to think they could pull this off and then have the gall to say, well, we just have the best interests of our student athletes at heart. He said that is appalling. Yeah, it's different from pro sports. It's different from pro sports. I can't say that enough. What you're doing here, you just keep thinking about how this is all based, about what the underpinnings of this massive multi-billion dollar business actually is, and it's free labor. So what happens? What happens without football money? That means other sports programs at major schools start going away. And all these athletic directors that were so proud of their softball teams and so proud of their diving teams and so proud of all these multiple championships and all the trophies, regardless of revenue generation, now you get called on how important it actually is to you. Stanford cut 11 varsity programs for the conclusion of the 2020-21 academic year due to the fallout from COVID-19. So I talked to Pete Futak yesterday of College Football News. And I asked him about this, and I was a little surprised by his response.
I am a anti-non-revenue sportite. It's the easiest argument. I've never heard one of as to why there needs to be non-revenue sports on college campuses. And you know who agrees with me? Stanford, because they could absolutely afford. They have a $30 billion endowment, the pocket change. They could keep this all going. And you are using this opportunity to say no.
Interesting take, and I think it's different if you have someone in your family who is a competitive rower
who is being recruited
by Stanford.
Exactly. That's the argument. The only argument is my kid got a scholarship for this. Well, so you got a scholarship for this activity? As someone who has lived their entire life on college campuses and who covered all non-revenue sports and who literally had more people watching me play bubble hockey in the bar than attended most of these sports. Really, basically what you're saying is, hey, other students, fund my activity. It's not like dance where every student could take a dance class or a drama class or a major. You're talking about set sports because we think this would be kind of cute. It's not high school. It's a college atmosphere. You do not need non-revenue sports. And what happens is everyone thinks they like the idea of them. You cut them. Nobody remembers that they're gone.
Is this going to set an example then? Are there other athletic directors who have been waiting to do this and now under the cover will say, well, you know, if Stanford's going to do it, then, you know, Texas can do it and UCLA can do it, et cetera.
Yes. And you're never going to get any athletic director to say otherwise. But I guarantee you that budgetary concerns, that it would make life a whole lot easier for them if they could just say, okay, to keep this in the land of the real, look, we're going to keep as many sports as we need to keep the Title IX requirements going. And you know what? We're going to have to just cut and axe everything else. And then you take all the football and basketball and, in some cases, women's basketball and volleyball and certain other sports that actually do generate revenue and say we're keeping those.
Where are you on college baseball in this context?
That's a tough one. Because the other part of this, the argument for some non-revenue sports is who has the donor money that comes in because of this sport? Because you are right. That is part of the thing is like, okay, my kid went to this school because of this, and oh, now I'm going to donate, you know, a building because of that. And I believe, I could be wrong on this, I do believe out of the whole Stanford cuts, I think golf stayed because there's a couple guys who went there who were pretty famous golfers and might have helped keep that all going. So I do think in terms of baseball, that probably stays. But again, you're still going to have it. The budgetary side of this thing is going to be, how do you have all these different scholarships for all these men's sports? Because when you have all baseball, that also means you're going to have to find more women's scholarship sports to keep around as well. And that's going to be a tough thing to justify budget-wise. And look, I think the numbers were something like Stanford was going to lose, no matter what, like $25 million in their athletic department this year. And I think it was something like $70 million pre-COVID over the next 3 years they were projecting. So it's a loss for the university. And it just, my argument's been, okay, yeah, your kid got a scholarship to go, you know, use your example for rowing. So that's what I did. So I can yell at for people by that. But why not give those scholarships to normal students, or just open up those slots to other kids who are going to pay full tuition, which at the immediate moment, as we're finding, as kids are now who weren't able to get into certain schools can now pretty much get in anywhere, paying full tuition is a very big deal for universities.
That was Pete Futek of College Football News yesterday, spitting some truth that I really hadn't considered, and I'm trying to think about it a little differently. This is causing us to learn all sorts of new truths, and one of those was discussed by Greg Doyle in the Indianapolis Star about the effect on some other schools when these Power Five conferences end up going conference only, if indeed those are the games that they're going to play. We're going to talk to Greg in just a couple of minutes on The Score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment's brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's time for mixed martial arts action. Fighting for your bet, the reigning, defending, undisputed champion of sports bettors, Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Place your bets now.
Not valid for any participant of the Illinois Gaming Board statewide voluntary self-exclusion program. Must be 21 years of age or older. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
Hey, this is Jay Zawoski. More leagues, more sports leagues are coming back every week. And personally, I'm really looking forward to spending a lot less time staying home and watching old games and a lot more time staying home and watching real live sports. And this time around, I'll be betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. I'd never used a betting app before until I found FanDuel Sportsbook. It's so easy. It is America's number one sportsbook app for a reason. They have more ways to win. On the FanDuel Sports app, if you can dream it, you could probably bet it. They offer spreads, parlays, money lines, over-unders, props, and in-game bets in an easy-to-use app. When you win, you can receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through FanDuel's safe and secure process. And the best part, by combining your sportsbook account with your fantasy account, you have the ability to use your winnings across both products. So you win some money in fantasy, you can use it in the sportsbook app, and vice versa. It's an awesome feature. Check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21 plus. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We made a vow early on that first and foremost, we would put the health, the safety, and the wellness of our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions. So we felt that this was an appropriate time to make this announcement.
All right, maybe. If you just take out student athletes and replace that with money that we get from the free labor of student athletes, then we're getting a little closer to the truth. That's Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, talking about that conference and presumably the rest of the Power Five to follow in going conference only. And here to talk about some of the ramifications of that and more is Greg Doyle, our old friend from the Indianapolis Star, who can be found on Twitter at Greg Doyle Star. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you been, man?
Good, Coach Bernstein. How are you?
Hanging in there, doing as best as well as anybody can with everything that's swirling around us right here. Hell's coming to breakfast for college sports. I mean, this is, I think we are getting to a real reckoning now, even for some of the dead enders out there, even for some of the people living in a world of their choice and their design. It's going to be a lot harder to do that as some of this stuff continues to hit home every day.
I don't understand those dead enders, right? It's obvious what's happening. It's obvious what already has happened. These same dead enders were the ones in March saying, nah, the NCAA tournament's going to be fine, or nah, this is all going to happen the way we think it should happen. Nah. I mean, 6 months later, however many months, they were wrong then. They're wrong right now. In about 2-3 weeks, we're going to see how wrong they were again. These people, and if you're listening, you people, don't learn. And the thing is, they don't want to learn, Dan. They don't want to learn. They don't tell them facts. Don't tell them science. Don't tell them anything other than what they want to hear. Because if you tell them anything they don't want to hear, they put their fingers in the ears and they say you're a liar and it's fake news and it's fear porn. And you just can't argue. It's stupid. You just can't do it. And I don't even try anymore.
One of my realizations as we've gone through this, and I keep getting back to three things the pandemic has done, where we keep learning things, and some people keep learning things that were always there. There were things that were happening that were always true. But what this stressor is doing, it is accelerating, and it's intensifying, and it's illuminating. And one of those truths is the longtime lie of the NCAA and the reliance on free labor for a multi-million-dollar industry that's claimed to be about the student athletes when it's really largely about television revenue. And you take it to another level here about the effect of this ecosystem on smaller schools and some with proud football programs and proud histories, but they also were relying on money generated by the Power Five conferences. And with this move, what now happens?
Yeah, and I'm about to make an analogy here that I don't mean to be insulting. So don't, I mean, people can take it how they want to, and dumb people are going to get mad about this, and I don't really care about that. The smart people know what I'm talking about. The Power Five conferences, they're like basking whales. They're, and that's not the insulting part is coming. They're like basking whales. They dominate the landscape. And the smaller schools, the Northern Illinois of the world, in my state, Ball State, in Ohio, Bowling Green, where both my kids went to school, one of them's there right now, up in Michigan, Central Michigan, and they're everywhere. They are the sucker fish. And again, that's the point. I don't mean that to be insulting. But they feed off and need the basking whales to survive. Well, the basking whales just said, hey, sucker fish, school's out. So, sorry, go feed off rocks and coral because you can't feed off us right now. Well, the sucker fish need them. But I'm not mad. I mean, this is going to hurt. This is going to crush Ball State, UMass, places like that. It's going to Northern Illinois. You're going to see school sports get canceled in the spring. And that's assuming we actually have football season. Even if we have a football season, what the Big Ten just did and what the SEC and the Big 12 will all do, because they're all like dogs sniffing each other's butts, they're all going to do the same thing. You're going to see all these schools, assuming we have football, cancel sports in the spring. But that's a big assumption. I mean, if we don't have football, and let's be honest, we're not going to have football. We're going to see schools like Northern Illinois cancel. They're going to lose a whole lot down the road. I mean, a whole lot down the road because the basking whales run the show. But again, the basking whales, I don't blame them right now. They're trying to save themselves. I get it. There's a meteor coming. Now let's talk dinosaurs. There's a meteor coming and everybody's running for cover. I get it. They're not being mean to Northern Illinois to be mean to them. They're trying to save themselves. But this meteor is coming and it was avoidable, but people weren't wearing masks and people weren't social distancing. And our political leaders weren't telling us how serious this was.
And even though a lot of us knew how serious it was, we didn't need anybody to tell us how serious it was. We knew the dumb people out there wanted to hear what they wanted to hear, and they heard it. And here we are now with literally the worst country in the world when it comes to fighting the disease. If you want to have college football in the fall, then let's go to New Zealand. You could name 100 countries we could go play the college football season, and it'd be okay health-wise. Just can't do it here, not in our country. Well to go, America. Well done.
Wondering how we build it back in a way that's more just and fair, and we don't miss out on this being an opportunity to make sure we're not repeating the same mistakes. On the one hand, we've had some of these countervailing forces where we have had gains in the courts by college athletes. We have had some victories in there about names and image and likeness and how they could get a seat at the table or a bite at the apple, however you want to put it. If and when major college sports are restored, what would be on your wish list for how to put it back together in a more just fashion?
So you're now talking, you're just talking about the workforce and what's fair to them?
Well, I'm just saying in general, when we know we've got this top-heavy, overly reliant, essentially professional football and minor league professional basketball being played, if we can take advantage of the truths that are being illuminated right now, and if we can take advantage of starving the beast to try to rebuild it, I'm wondering what's possible here and what big plans we could be making for figuring it out to make it better.
Well, there's no way to make it better in a way that lifts all boats. You know, they say a rising tide lifts all boats. Not in this system. A rising boat will lift the Power Five and will drown everybody else. There's no way. I mean, where we're going is not sustainable. Never mind the fact that they're going to start paying college athletes one of these days. It's coming. It's not sustainable. Even the system we've had the last 50 years, it's not sustainable. With TV contracts being what they are, with coaches earning what they're earning, with facilities costing what they're costing, the arms race the big schools are having, the small schools getting left behind. So if you want to know how, the only way to make college sports equitable, the only way to do it is for the Power Five. And I don't love this. I went to Florida, but my heart's always with the underdogs. So I'm not a Power Five guy necessarily. But the only way for this thing to work fairly is the Power Five to break away and just go become the de facto minor league sports thing that you are. And all the smaller schools, the Northern Illinois, the MACs of the world, the Big West or whatever, for them to then scale back. And if you're coaching Northern Illinois or Ball State, you're not going to make $1 million anymore. You're going to make about $250,000 because you're going to go back to – it's like Division III. Turn everybody else into Division III and make it all about academics, and the best of the best can go play minor league sports and everybody else can play college sports, because there's no way to – you can't have equitably. You can't have the bigs and the littles anymore. The gap has gone too big.
And I think it would make sense then if the Power Five, however you want to do it, we can stop talking about student athletes and you can maybe just decouple the idea of that. We can let go of the lie of the student athlete at some of these schools and make it available if they want, or have a separate program. But it makes some sense to me. It's just the schools that get caught in between are these schools that you're talking about that were just big enough. And I don't know what the defensive coordinator or the offensive line coach at Ball State or Northern Illinois makes, but I think you've hit on those examples of those in between schools that have just enough size and have leaned on the success and revenue generation of their football program just enough to be in real trouble. And that's when it gets scary, because the investments they've made.
They are history's middle sibling. They're not small enough to be cute and adorable and you are what you are and God love you, God bless you. They're not that, little guy. They're not the big brother that's scoring off touchdowns for the big high school. They're that middle brother, or middle sister that kind of gets overlooked and might make the varsity volleyball team, might not, that's who the Northern Illinois and the Ball States of the world are. And it's not their fault. They didn't do this. But they are powerless in a tornado where they're just the twigs getting thrown around. And at some point, the twigs have to go their own separate way and bundle up together. There's strength in numbers. And right now, they have no numbers. The sucker fish are getting squashed. It's a shame. But there's a whole lot wrong with our country right now, sports included. But there's a lot going on here. We can have sympathy and empathy for a whole lot of groups right now, because there's a whole lot of wrong happening.
Greg, lastly, your thoughts on what Stanford did. We just played some comments from yesterday's show where Pete Futek of College Football News says you're doing away with rowing and wrestling and all this stuff as varsity scholarship sports. Good. He celebrated that fact because he just thinks that there is a net positive for a campus to have more opportunities for other students, for other things to be funded, rather than saying, yes, we just won the archery championship or the fencing championship at a varsity level. How do you feel about, again, what is likely where other athletic directors at schools like UCLA and Michigan and Ohio State just say, you know what, we don't have to fund these other sports anymore?
I'm okay with that. I think we're going to look back at this in 5 or 10 years at the, remember how quaint it was back when they actually had lacrosse and they actually had, you know, rowing and schools, things like that. And we're going to look back and say, can you believe they actually funded all those sports? And I don't say that meanly towards those sports. I kind of say this just again towards where we're going, but also I say this in support of everybody else on campus. Because you're right. There's if rowing loses 10 scholarships and a coach, that sucks. But those kids can still go to school, and meanwhile, maybe 5,000 other students get their extracurricular activities still get funded. Who do we want to win this battle for? 10 or 12 athletes that let's be honest, you've never heard of, I've never heard of, that as soon as they graduate will enter the workforce. Do we want to make sure they have an insulated high school like college experience, or do we want 5 or 10,000 students to get what they should get out of college? It's a numbers game, and you got to side with the bigger number. And it's not like, well, there's 12 athletes on this side, and there's 17 students on this side. No, there's 12 athletes on this side, and there's a whole student body on the other side. You got to make a hard choice, and that choice really is not that hard.
Greg Doyle, always outstanding stuff. Keep fighting the good fight, and know that I like the rising toad, and I'm staying with it. You can have the rising tide. I think my mascot for the COVID pandemic is going to be the rising toad, and all he needs is a name.
I just think that I made so many animal analogies. I went back to prehistoric era. I got rising toads. I mean, I was all over the map. You got to give me credit. I was all over the zoo. And Noah's Ark has nothing on what I just did today.
I am here for all of it. Greg, best of health to you and yours.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Thanks. Bye.
That is Greg Doyle. And we're going to find out what the ramifications of all this might be for the NFL. Because when you think about this, if it's this year, if it's next year, you're having a supply chain disruption for talent. The NFL is going to have to figure that out, as the NFL has already put in some protocols for their games. I'm not quite sure how they're all going to work, but Hub Arkish knows everything about the NFL and the Bears, and he's going to join us next on The Score.
David Haw here from the Mullen Haw Show. Mornings 5 to 9. Cubs and Sox fans, with baseball set to return to Chicago, remember to start your mornings with us. We'll be covering both sides of town, discussing this unprecedented 60-game season, plus all the new rules, changes, and more. Mullen Haw, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Hey, Dan Bernstein here. Rain's coming down now, and the thunder and lightning can be alarming. But what's even scarier is what's left afterward, the storm damage to your home. Well, Aloha Construction is your local expert for repairing your damaged roof, your siding, your gutters, your windows. They have over 20,000 completed projects in the Chicagoland area, and they are the recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for Business Ethics. Aloha Construction, practicing a contact-free process from start to finish. So visit alohabuilds.com today. Aloha Construction, we rain when it storms.
This isn't a grilled cheese I'm making. It's a melty masterpiece that deserves a kitchen worthy of greatness.
Looks like my porch is full of packages again. It also looks like my compulsive buying needs to change to compulsive saving.
As I sit here on this couch, I decided to make some changes, starting with this couch.
I'd love to be looking out my window at a beautiful backyard instead of a brick wall. Time for a new house.
Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.
Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Pat Hughes here, radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs on 670 The Score. Listen to Ron Coomer and me on 670 The Score, your official destination to hear all 60 games of this unprecedented 2020 season.
Deep center field. There goes Taylor. It's got a chance. It's a grand slam. And the Cubs have won the ball game.
We've all been patiently waiting for the return of baseball. And finally, it's time to play ball.
A swing and a drive. Deep left center. It's got a chance. Cubs win.
Please remember to join Ron Coomer and me for every action-packed game of this unique 2020 season. Heard only on 670 The Score.
Rizzo drives one in the air to deep right field. This ball's got a chance. Gone.
Baseball.